podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Tony Review system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social. Seller wants to know if I'd take Luis Enrique as Spurs manager. I know it's been a long time, but we have got a manager now.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around fantasy Premier League. My name's Serge.
And my name is James.
Yeah, man. Football's back again. It's fast. These kind of four-day breaks are quick.
Yeah, listen, no one wants to be lingering on Ukraine for a week. Let's get on and play the next game,
exactly.
Mate.
Exactly. But the next game isn't England. It's Italy-Spain this evening. Any thoughts?
On the Italy-Spain game specifically? Yeah, loads. How long you got?
We got half an hour, 40 minutes.
I think the first thing is there seems to be a kind of, and I'm not saying it's everyone, obviously, but there's kind of like a wide assumption that Italy are going to win tonight. And I don't think Spain should be written off.
Okay.
I really don't. Italy, yes, I think Italy will win tonight as well, but it will come as no shock if Spain knocked them out. They've still got technical quality in the midfield areas, the wide areas, the loss of Spinazzola. I think Spain can do Italy some damage. I think if both teams perform at their maximum level, I think Italy will have too much. The most fascinating battle is the midfield battle.
Who do you think will get? So you've got Busquets, Pedri, who else will be
and
in?
Koke.
And Koke will be the Spanish three. And then you have Jorginho, Barella and
Verratti.
You think ahead of Locatelli?
Yeah. I'd spoken previously about the balance Locatelli gives Italy, but I think Verratti, he's top draw. He's top draw on his day. He's as good as anybody around, I think. And he plays a more kind of an advanced pressing role for Italy now. You get all the best of him. It's in that midfield area where the two teams, I think, are at their strongest, although Italy in their spine with the goalkeeper and the two centre-halves are fantastic as well.
Yeah, and you'd take Immobile over Morata any day.
They're both frustrating pricks, aren't they?
Yeah, but I think I trust Immobile more than I trust Morata. But that's maybe because I'm scarred from the past with Morata.
Well, I've got both the bastards. I'm expecting any of them to do anything in fantasy tonight, to be very honest with you. I really don't even know who I'm going to captain in that tonight.
I'm going to go Insigne.
I might go Emerson, actually.
Okay. As an absolute wild card.
I might do, yeah. I think it's worth remembering that Italy haven't played a side yet who are dominant on the ball.
Yep. And Spain will try to be, for sure.
Yeah. Switzerland, Turkey, Wales, obviously not going to dominate Italy on the ball. Austria were the team that give Italy the most problems, really. That was their kind of one bad game. Everyone's entitled to one. And Belgium are a side who, we've spoken so much about teams who lose games having more of the ball. Even in that game, Italy had more of the ball than Belgium. Belgium was still looking to isolate the counter-attacking opportunities through De Bruyne and Lukaku. Whereas Spain will want to dictate the game. They've had more of the ball than anybody else in this tournament so far. And they've got the players to control the game of football. And it'd be interesting to see how Italy react if they're struggling on the press, spend long times without the ball. Spain kind of killed the tempo of the game. Because this Italy team is not typical Italian teams, right? We kind of get down this stereotypical route of them being defensively solid. We spoke about shithousery a bit yesterday. This Italy team is the best to watch in the tournament. I think I identified that day one, I said, when they beat Turkey, I'll be surprised if there's a team more enjoyable to watch than them.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
If Spain dominate the ball for large periods, though, don't you think Italy will press and try and get it back? As opposed to just let them have it? Or do you think they'll let them have it?
But it's easier said than done when you're chasing the likes of Busquets and Pedri and stuff.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily easy.
Yeah, I understand that.
And if it becomes a slow tempo, Italy might struggle in that point. Because actually, I think we've seen that at certain stages in the tournament that if the tempo is slow, like the Austrian game became slow for them, then they might be missing the top level kind of creativity layers.
Mm-hmm.
Great Italian teams in the past, the Baggios, the Zolas, all those kind of players, we kind of associate that brilliant number 10 for them. They don't really have that player. Although football's evolved, not many teams do have a number 10 of that ilk now. I just think they might... I don't think it's straightforward at all, actually. Spain are strong in the fullback areas with Azpilicueta and Alba. If Laporte's out, it's going to be a big blow. And I think Pau Torres and Eric Garcia, if that's the combination, lacks a bit of experience.
Mm.
Which Unai Simón in goal is also relatively inexperienced at this level as well. Whereas you look at the other end with... I mean, Donnarumma's only 23, but he's already been playing about 15 years, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Bonucci and Chiellini are still so fucking top drawer. It's hard to believe Bonucci and Chiellini played in the European final 9 years ago when Spain demolished Italy in Kiev 4-0 in the final. I mean, they're so experienced. Chiellini actually played left back that night. So that's the top level, I think, that kind of edges it for me is... Can Italy get the high pressure in the game? Yes, they'll do well. Defensively, if it becomes a war, you've got far more trust in the Italians defensively than the Spanish.
Mm.
But don't rule Spain out, honestly.
I'm not. I'd rather Spain than Italy. I'm not like really massively heavily one way or the other because I think even Spain can give England a good game because they're technically so good. I just have one wish, James.
Go on.
Penalties.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Just make it penalties because then at least they've played 120 minutes.
After the Germany game, it was a conversation about would you prefer Sweden or Ukraine? Extra time
is what we're after here.
But it's Tuesday to Sunday, it's 5 days. Yeah, so it shouldn't be an issue. I've actually got no particular preference.
Yeah, I think you have to beat the best to win the trophy.
We've got to win our game tomorrow about worrying about who was going to play in the final. If England gets a final, play anyone.
Yes, agreed.
Bring it. Bring me Brazil 1982, Socrates and all that shit, honestly.
Yeah.
Paolo Rossi, Italy 82. Bring any. If we get to a final, I don't care who we play.
Yeah.
Bring it. If we're underdogs, favourites, whatever.
And then England-Denmark tomorrow. I mean, do we want to preview England-Denmark tomorrow?
Yeah.
I think we should. We'll have something. James will prepare a tactical analysis, flipboard, charts, touchy screens.
No.
We haven't been able to buy that big screen that they have on Sky with the like magic pens and all that because we have less money than Barcelona.
Oh, oh wow, there's another podcast.
Yes, indeed. They're a bit skint at the moment, I hear.
They are. It's a story worth watching. They are in huge trouble.
Yeah. So, looking forward to the game tonight. And then once it's out the way, we can get our heads into England tomorrow. I think it's going to be a very weird day tomorrow in the build-up. I think people will be at work, but a lot of minds will be on a lot of other things.
Oh, yeah, I'm only going to be thinking about England. That's literally going to be the day. Do you know what you're doing with fantasy tonight?
I don't, to be honest with you. I'm more than likely captaining Insigne.
Okay.
But I haven't looked at my fantasy team. But I've got three Belgians I need to bin out. And then I've also got Zuba, who is on his way out, and Spinazzola. So they'll be my five transfers. I'll be piling into Harry Kane for Lukaku. That's quite an easy, straightforward one. And I'll have a look at the others. Maybe Ferran Torres for Carrasco might be a consideration, especially if I've seen the team. At the back, I'll probably look at Luke Shaw for Spinazzola. So I've got lots of options, basically, where places where I can go. The players that I've got that are moving out are generally expensive, so budget's not really an issue here.
It's a little bit tight for me with the 5-3s. I mean, I've got five players to replace what I've got. I'm probably going to have about a million spares. It's not that bad. I think Emerson's going to come in for me for Spinazzola, as long as he's in the team. Obviously, we'll all have the blessing of seeing the team this evening. I see no reason why he won't be in the team at left back. I mean, one of the things people are obviously debating is, will they play the same way without Spinazzola? There isn't an exact science way of knowing, but I would think ideally, yes. And Emerson's best traits are going forward, right? He's not a great defensive left back anyway, right? So, I mean, Chelsea fans will probably have had sleepless nights thinking about Emerson or Marcus Alonso and which one's worse defensively. So the higher up the pitch he is as well, I think he's naturally blessed defensively. He's no Spinazzola, but it'll give them the natural width high up the pitch. I think they probably will play the same way. That makes him interesting at 5.5 million with ownership of 2%. I think a lot will go and buy him tonight, actually.
Yeah.
And I don't mind that as a captaincy shout as well. I can see the game being 1-1 and going to extra time.
Possibly
all the way. So, I mean, I think the fantasy points are possibly going to be quite hard to find tonight anyway. I am likely to buy, I think, two Spanish players tonight. Unai Simón and Pau Torres. And the reason for buying them rather than a combination of, say, Donnarumma and Bonucci is not because I've got more faith in the Italian players or the Spanish players. It's I want to punt something different tonight. And if we land with the final of the worst case scenario of Spain versus Denmark, that at least gives me a platform of five players ready for the weekend. Whereas if I go Bonucci and Donnarumma and it turns out that way, I've got three players for the final, then I'm struggling a bit. So I'm going to punt two Spanish players tonight. I think Emerson, I'll bring Luke Shaw in, and Mason Mount is the other. So it will give me Simón, Torres, Morata from Spain, Immobile, Insigne, Berardi, Emerson from Italy. I'm not expecting Berardi to start, but I mean, same thing. And under these rules, I'm thinking the game could go to extra time and he'll get on the pitch anyway. Two Danes, Meili, Damsgaard.
Say again.
Joachim Meili.
Meile.
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 Yeah, thank you FPL Cycling for trying to teach me how to say Joachim Meile.
Meile.
On the FPL Happy Hour podcast last night.
I hope he's listening, Morten, because I'd like a little bit of feedback,
to be fair,
on the pronunciation of Meile.
That would leave me six English players. Kane, Sterling, Shaw, Stones, Mount and Pickford.
Nice. Wear that badge with pride, James. Come on.
I intend to tomorrow.
Nice. Looking forward to it. You put out a tweet asking for some questions for this show today. Now there's less football to talk about, we can answer a few questions from Joe Public listeners.
Do you want me to give you my phone?
Nah, go on, read them. For a change, just mix it up for everybody. James is going to ask the questions.
Our friend Dave Simplegoal says, assuming you think Italy are tougher opponents for England, will you therefore be cheering on Spain even a little bit? We kind of just answered this, didn't we?
Yeah, I don't think I will. I think I'll just watch it as a neutral game. I almost don't want England to... we beat Germany on the way to the final. But I don't want anyone to turn around and say, yeah, you won the Euros, but you only had to play shit teams along the way. I want to win it properly with a little bit of, we won it and we deserve to win it.
I don't give a fuck how we win it.
Yeah, I get that. This is a small part of me. I just know that someone somewhere will be like, oh, well, you only had to play
They're going to say you were home anyway or whatever. Yeah, don't worry about that shit.
I'm not worried, but also I'd like to give the Italians a beating as well. I'm not cheering on Spain. I probably would rather Spain won in extra time, but it's marginal, mate. It's like a 51-49.
We play. France and Belgium went before us 3 years ago. I remember watching the game and not being that bothered because I remember thinking whichever one of these two clowns we play, we're getting fucking beat anyway. So I wasn't that bothered 3 years ago. And I think, look, we're going on second. You start worrying about who you're going to play in the final when you haven't played your own. So if it was the other way around and we'd already won and then we're looking forward to tomorrow night, I'd probably break down and go, yeah, maybe I've got a preference for Spain. But I watched the game tonight.
And it is what it is,
from a pure watch. If England are blessed to get to a final, we'll play whoever we get. Let's not be... We've been fortunate.
It's mad actually that we're even talking about the final when we're not in it.
The thing is, as well, the dangerous thing is you think, oh, well, this Italian team, and they are the best team in it. And you think, well, we'd rather play Spain. It's suddenly going to be fucking easy for us chasing for example.
Okay, let's flip it. The Italians or the Spanish tomorrow night are going to be thinking, we hope Denmark win, right?
Probably.
Yeah. And why? Because defensively, we're so solid. Rice and Phillips in front of the back four for the likes of Insigne and whoever else is playing on the right-hand side will cut out a lot of space and make it difficult. Stones and Maguire are big and strong. They'll keep Immobile quiet. We've got legs in midfield. So let them worry about us. Fuck it. Bring on whoever. Because they will not want to play us. They'd rather play Denmark, I'm sure.
I'm with that.
Let's beat Denmark first as well, Dave.
Oliver Ash says, Spinazzola's injury raises a lot of questions. Is it a simple case of Emerson comes in to fill that role? Or could Italy hold Emerson back for Di Lorenzo to attack on the right flank instead? Looking at the Spanish fullbacks, Italy could have more success against Alba than Azpilicueta. It's a fair point in terms of trying to attack the perhaps weakness on Spanish left-hand side rather than right. But no, I don't see that, actually. I can't see Emerson funneling into a kind of defensive fullback position and Di Lorenzo suddenly going the other way. I think it's more likely if they were to change, they would just play as more out-and-out common fullbacks and play with balance.
Mm.
I think they'll play the same way, actually.
Yeah.
Nick Maynard says, I think Spain v Italy could be a cracker. Both sides have their frailties. I genuinely can't pick a winner. FPL pessimistic.
I think it's going to be more like... it's going to be technically very good to watch. Like, they'll knock the ball around well. I don't know if it's going to be... it's not going to be like a Premier League game, for example, end-to-end, lots of chances and that kind of thing. But it'll be very technically good to just watch players that are so good on the ball and so comfortable to receive the ball and that kind of thing. And those kind of games, for a real pure football fan, a tactical fan like you or like a lot of our listeners and me that want to watch a game, can get mesmerised by that. For a neutral, they might just, they're just passing the ball around. What are they doing? I think it's going to be a cracker in that sense, more than an end-to-end, loads of chances, crash, bang, wallop kind of game, for sure.
FPL pessimistic potato says, if you could pick one player from either Italy or Spain's team to play for Tottenham, who would you choose and why? I would buy Pedri, because Barcelona are fucking skint.
Yeah, we're all going to be shopping in the supermarket of Barcelona soon. And Barca Aldi.
this boy's got some talent. Mm. So he's run more distance than anybody else in the tournament.
So far, yeah.
18 years of age.
Yeah, fair play. Let him, little young kid.
But he's so so controlled on the ball now. Mm. You don't think about that kind of high end. Admittedly, Spain is a little bit... kind of swerved by the fact Spain have had two games go to extra time, but he's been playing all the minutes, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He took him off with like, 1 minute to go against Switzerland. He played all 120 against Croatia. Yeah.
Pedri from Spain is a real simple, easy one. No doubt about it.
Seller wants to know if I'd take Luis Enrique as Spurs manager. I know it's been a long time, but we have got a manager now. But I absolutely would have taken Luis Enrique.
He's a winner, isn't he? He's a ruthless winner.
Unquestionable.
Mm. I think anyone would take Luis Enrique if you offered him as manager.
On the article I was reading on The Athletic last night, it was really interesting reading about Daniele De Rossi, who you might remember from the Italian team, kind of the more early noughties. He used to wear one long sleeve, one short sleeve.
Okay.
And in Euro 2012, basically ended up playing sweeper against... they played Spain in the group stage and the final. He's now Mancini's assistant, but Mancini tried to buy De Rossi for Manchester City when Mancini was at the Etihad, but De Rossi wouldn't go because he was so in love with Enrique's methods when Enrique was Roma manager.
Right.
Enrique had this really interesting kind of starter at Roma where he came in, he introduced himself to everyone, they went on the training pitch and he went, okay, play. And they're all like, you got no tactical instruction for them. He went, no, I want to see what you got.
Yeah.
And so he analysed what they had and then took it in a certain direction from there. So, and it's a more common trait that a lot of managers are doing, that is actually looking at what's at their disposal and working from there. Although obviously Man City had a great team under Mancini, some of the stylistic things that Italy do, I might be wrong, but I don't remember Man City playing in this way quite often, and possibly because they're dominating
personnel,
so many games
maybe
and things
personnel.
Like that. I would have taken Mancini or Enrique all day long, mate, either. Yeah, no problems at all. I'll do this one for you. This is from Rohan. It says, if you can sign two players, one each from Italy and Spain for your club side, who would they be and why? Well, Pedri's one. I'll do the Italian in a sec.
From Italy, thing is, I always look at what do we need in our team to plug any holes. So, in a strange way, Immobile, of course, as a striker, I'd have him all
day
long.
It's fucking Immobile.
Well, we need a striker, right? So
why do you need a striker?
Antonio's made a paper, mate.
He's good though, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's made a paper. We need another striker, but I don't know if it'd have to be Immobile or give me Barella and Rice can go.
Okay. Barella's a great shout, by the way.
Yeah, I always just look at, okay, what problems have we got coming up?
I wouldn't compare Barella and Rice, though.
No, but I just a central midfielder, you know, and then maybe Souček will end up having to sit deeper. But I think, okay, goalkeeper, we need a goalkeeper soon because our friend Fabianski is like 300 years, he's 34, 35. He's got a year or two in him, but we need a goalkeeper. So, yeah, we need a left back because Aaron Creswell is getting on a bit. We need a holding midfielder. We need a striker. So, yeah. But our friend Felipe Anderson has agreed personal terms back at Lazio.
Felipe Anderson exists. He's a person.
He is, mate. And so all I'm hoping is that frees up the budget now on the payroll to sort Jesse Lingard deal out because that would be fine. I think they're just trying to wait on one thing to knock on another.
Everybody should be picking up the phone to Barcelona this morning. You know, part of the problem Barcelona got with trying to sell these players, everybody knows how desperate they are. So you're just going to wait. Yeah. I know you're desperate. Yeah, I'll come and get your players at the end of August and stuff.
Yeah. Wow. So, yeah, I mean, those are the shouts, I guess.
Barella or Verratti for me. I'd still be very tempted to take Chiellini or Bonucci, even at age. Donnarumma is definitely going to be the best goalie in the world, if he's not already, I think. He looks absolutely outstanding. Spinazzola, fortunately, obviously, he's probably unlikely to play again in 2021.
I'm sure the question was which one.
But I think... No, you said one from both, this one. So,
yeah, but you just named about seven Italians.
But it's because I'm impressed with quite a lot of them, actually.
And I don't blame you.
I think one. Oh, I would say Verratti.
Okay. Locatelli to Arsenal. Is that on the cards, is it, potentially?
Listen, Arsenal... you guys... Arsenal get used pawned for fucking raising transfer fees so much. I told you off camera when I heard that the Sassuolo president came out and said that Arsenal would bid for Locatelli. What's he doing that in public for? He's notifying everybody. Apparently he's going to Juventus now.
Okay, fair play.
Chris Hermitage says, which players from each starting 11 would you not expect to be a big part of the World Cup 2022 team squad?
Chiellini, Bonucci, unless they're still kicking around.
It's only, 15, 16 months away? I think there's every chance they will be, wouldn't they? They are absolutely outstanding.
Was Chris's question for Italy, Spain, or was it for England?
For both, Italy and Spain.
Okay. Morata? Have they got a better backup striker coming through? Main striker?
I think that's been a changeable position regularly for Spain. I think the forward line could change for Italy as well.
But it depends if Luis Enrique is still manager in 15, 16 months. And he has said that he likes Morata as a main man.
I think this Italy team, bar a few because of age, is likely to stay together. It feels unthinkable they didn't qualify for the last World Cup. How the fuck did that happen? And their last three World Cup performances failed to qualify. They went out in the group stage in 2014 after they lost to Costa Rica and Uruguay. They went out in the group stage in 2010 after drawing with Paraguay, New Zealand and losing to Slovakia. That was after winning it in 2006. Obviously got to the Euro final in 2012. And I remember them destroying Germany Mario Balotelli specifically actually destroying Germany in the semi-final in Warsaw. But then Spain tore them a new one in the final. But that was Spain kind of the peak and that kind of final top level. It was the third tournament they'd won in a row. To win three major tournaments in a row is top level domination. That's why I have to be considered one of, if not the greatest national side of all time, I think.
Correct.
To win two Euros in a row and a World Cup in the middle. What a team. Steve Cheek says, do you think Italy will attack the game in the same way as previous games? They're weakened now with Spinazzola missing. I think yes. As an overview.
First 5 minutes will be cagey. Just figuring out, okay, let me just check that the formation and the setup and the lineup and the way they're playing this game is as it is. They've done that in quite a few games. Just give it a few minutes to just see what these guys are doing. And then, right, okay, let's crack on now.
Yeah, particularly the Switzerland game. Yeah, they gave Switzerland a good 5 minutes and it was like, oh, Switzerland's wing-backs are getting quite high here.
And then they know what their game plan is and off they go. So I think it's going to be very similar to that. I don't see why not. I think we're at the stage now in the tournament. Play your own game and try and win the games.
I was thinking a lot last night. I can't remember who wrote the article. It was a really good article on The Athletic. I will tell you because I've still got it here. James Horncastle and a few of his colleagues. Brilliant article on The Athletic about Italy and Spain's strengths in midfield positions. And it got me thinking about what a greatest ever Italian-Spain combined team would look like.
Of all time?
Well, in my lifetime.
All right, fair play.
I can't be going back to the Tardellis and the Rossis and stuff like that because I haven't seen it live. So, I mean, my memory dates back to the earliest is kind of Italian 90, so the last 30 years or so. And straight away you think, can't leave Busquets out, can't leave Xavi out, can't leave Iniesta out, can't leave Pirlo out. You think, how am I getting them all into a team?
Now I'm thinking Casillas versus Buffon, starting at the back, probably go Buffon.
Well, for me, that's easy.
Buffon.
Yeah, all day.
Yeah. I think Buffon for me as well, but Casillas was a great goalkeeper as well. So Buffon, then you're thinking about, you're 4 years younger than me, 4 or 5 years, whatever it is, but Paolo Maldini.
100%. Left back for me.
Baresi?
Yes.
Yeah, so now it's so basically Italian backline, Spanish midfield.
You've got it.
Fuck, mix up the forwards.
Basically, that's
really?
It, yeah.
Thinking back to would Ramos or PK get in as centre half?
I mean, some of the centre backs from these two, if you think about PK, Puyol, Sergio Ramos, even now like Chiellini, Bonucci. Play Alessandro Nesta, I'd leave out. It was a wonderful player. That to leave out some of them centre backs, fucking hell. The one I'd go with is Cannavaro.
He was good.
I think to win player of the tournament in 2006 as well. Yeah.
Cannavaro alongside
Baresi, Maldini left back.
Right back's
tougher. I've gone Sergio Ramos, which people might think's a bit cheeky because obviously people remember him most fondly as centre back. But he played at right back in the 2008 and 2010 finals for Spain. So, I mean, he played at right back with Piqué and Puyol at centre back. So, I think Ramos at right back, actually.
Midfield. Pirlo's got to be in there. But Xavi Iniesta, no question.
And Busquets
and Pirlo.
And you can't leave Pirlo out.
Let's do a 4-4-2.
No, but with going 4-3-3, we just have to play Iniesta a bit more advanced. Okay, you literally could not leave any of them players out.
Yeah.
I would go...
Strikers.
Yeah.
For me,
God, I'm interested to know what you'd say. Okay.
Fernando Torres, I was just in love with in that era that we talked about where they were winning tournaments. Pace, aggression, finishing, left foot, right foot, head. When he was at Liverpool, I just thought he was... He probably never scored as many goals as he should have in his career, but as an athlete, he was just... Yeah, I used to love watching Fernando Torres play. And I was so happy when he came to the Premier League with Liverpool. So Torres, for me, yeah, it's a very personal decision. I don't think he is probably the best striker ever, but I'd play Torres up top.
Torres would be in for me as well. I thought a lot. Like, there was three kind of out-and-out names, and I only picked one of these three. It was Torres... David Villa for his achievements, particularly in 2010. And Christian Vieri in the late 90s was so powerful for Italy. But I felt the one for me of the three who I think it through various years, there was a certain point where if you said to me, pick a World 11 now, Fernando Torres would have been in it around 2008-09.
At
Liverpool. Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Him and Gerrard took Liverpool under Benitez close to challenging Man United and they basically did it on their own.
Yeah.
Phenomenal Fernando Torres. So I would have gone him. And then I thought with what I had, I needed either a pacey player or a rear out and out flair player. So you think of people like Pedro's underrated have been very good. But I thought
David Silva.
No, I needed an attack. David Silva, yeah. Fucking hell. I've gone with Roberto Baggio.
Yeah.
Because I think his impact early on in the group stage in Italia 90, the wonderful goal against Czechoslovakia in Rome.
Zola's Totti's of the world.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I thought in terms of major tournament impact, Baggio was far more than Zola and Totti. Baggio was by far the outstanding Italian player in USA 94, obviously famous. Unfortunately, what anyone remembers is penalty. He missed the fucking penalty at the end.
Unfortunately, but he dominated.
Absolutely pulled them through against Spain, ironically, and Nigeria in the knockout stages, he was the outstanding player. And Bulgaria in the semi-final scored two great goals. So for me, because of what was achieved at major tournaments, had to be Baggio.
That team...
Trained to win the Premier League.
Would batter some teams, honestly. That team, Buffon, Baresi, Cannavaro,
Maldini, Ramos.
Right back's the weak spot there, but then you've got Xavi, Sergio Ramos, Iniesta, is the weak Busquets, spot. Busquets, and who was the other midfielder we said there? Pirlo.
Busquets, Xavi, Iniesta, and Pirlo.
With Baggio and Torres up top, yeah.
It's got to be 08-09 Torres, just to be clear.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah,
what a team.
Fucking hell. That'd do some damage, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Listeners, why don't you jump in the comments on Twitter or on YouTube or wherever you're listening and chuck in your best ever joint Italian-Spanish teams. Be interesting to have a look.
Yeah, because there's so many names you'd leave out. Like if someone said, you've got to have a Nesta, I wouldn't argue. Like,
yeah, 100%. But why don't you do that in a preview to the game tonight? The one thing the BBC, I don't even know if it's ITV or BBC, but definitely before the England games, the BBC.
BBC tonight. Hyping up.
Like, if you watch the hour build-up before an England game, my God, it gets you gassed up thinking about everything and how we can win it. They're doing a really good propaganda job of convincing the
country. Did you see the
little
kind of montage they did at the end of the game Saturday night?
No.
BBC no. Of kind of the England bits against Ukraine with Ness and Dormer and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, the old goosebumps going and stuff.
But
nice,
just
mate.
When they're pulling out the old footage of Southgate before the game and some of his interviews back then, and you're like, you know what? He's not just suddenly become intelligent. He was a thoughtful, good manager, player, even back then. And it really gets you onside and thinking. So they're doing a really good job with all of that. And tonight as well, I'm sure with the Italy-Spain stuff, there'll be plenty of nice, good pre-roll.
Do you want the bad news?
Yes.
We don't do very well on ITV. The England's record in tournaments, BBC versus ITV, is not funny.
Yeah. I was going to restart the camera. I think we don't need to because we've done it once. And yeah, let's not talk about that till tomorrow.
We'll save it for tomorrow.
Indeed. Hope you enjoyed listening to today's pod. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening. Leave us a nice review or whatever else you need to do on those platforms. And other than that, head over to patreon.com/planetfpl to support the show. There's quite a lot of people on the old Patreon now. Love it. Thank you for your support. Stay safe.
Thanks, everyone. Enjoy the game tonight. Good luck to our Italian and Spanish followers. Cue music, please, man child. Really stitched up music there.
Ciao for now.
Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.